why John the Baptist? He may have been a personal patron of Richard, I don't know. But it's interesting that the vestments, you know, all of the monarchical garb ends, and you have a guy here who's wearing clothing that is basically like rags here. And you, so you see Richard kind of looking beyond the earthly realm, into the heavenly. Go.
Welcome to Faith and Culture, a production of the Augustine Institute. Every week, we explore the glory of the Catholic faith and the beauty of Catholic culture. And now, here's the host of Faith and Culture, Joseph Pierce.
Hello, I'm Joseph Pierce, and welcome to another Faith and Culture podcast of the Augustine Institute. And I'm so delighted to have my good friend and a person who's been already been a guest on the podcast on a number of occasions because he's so interesting, is Jared Stout. But before I introduce Jared, this podcast and the next one that I'm going to do with him, we're going to be discussing some of our favorite masterpieces of art. So to get the most out of this podcast and this podcast, I advise you, while I'm introducing Dr. Stout, to go onto Google Images, and then when we give you the name of the painting and the artist, you can just put the Google search in, and the image will come up. So then as we're talking about the paintings, you're going to be actually looking at them with us, make it a much more enjoyable podcast experience. So while you're doing that, I will now introduce my good friend Jared Stout. So Jared, I know, works for the Archdiocese of Denver and also teaches for the Augustine Institute here. Perhaps maybe you'd like to just fill in more details because that was a little bit vague.
Yes. So I work as the Director of Formation for the Archdiocese, primarily in Catholic schools, focusing on Catholic identity and the liberal arts. And I do a number of other things focused on Catholic history and culture.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously you have your very excellent website, which I recommend, buildingcatholicculture.com, and your wonderful book, The Beer Option. I mean, just the title itself should make you want to go out and buy it.
Thank you.
So obviously, Jared has lots of interests, but one interest we share, and I know in the past we've discussed, you know, what are our favorite works of art? And, you know, I gave my list and he gave his list, and we thought it might be fun on the Faith and Culture podcast to actually go through some of our favorite paintings and maybe to discuss what we like about them. So in the first of these two podcasts, because we're going to do another one, we're going to be looking at Renaissance and Baroque paintings, so from the late 14th century through to the early 17th century. And then in the second one, we'll be looking at more modern art, 19th and 20th century art. So Jared, do you want to kick us off? What's our first selection?
Yeah, we're looking at the Wilton Diptych, and we do not have an artist for this selection. It's an anonymous artist. And the piece was commissioned for the King Richard II. And he actually took it with him into prison. He was deposed by King Henry IV. And so it adds something, I think, to this painting to think about him in imprisonment shortly before his death, looking at Our Lady. And in this image, that is what we see, right? He is kneeling in supplication before Our Lady and asking for her help.
Yeah, and one thing I really love about this painting is, in a patriotic sense, is it really does encapsulate Catholic England, or Merry England, if you like, because you see the monarch, King Richard II, kneeling here before, so the left hand, it's a diptych, of course, let's get that clear, not as opposed to a triptych. And these are images that appear on an altar, on a Catholic altar, and a triptych, of course, is some of three images, so one in the middle and one either side. This is a diptych, so it's just two, and they do fold, and this is actually, I first saw this where the original is in the National Gallery in London. And so on the left, we have King Richard II kneeling with three, so I was almost says English saints, but I don't think I can claim St. John the Baptist as an Englishman, but two English saints and St. John the Baptist. So we have St. Edmund, a martyr, who was killed by the pagan Danes and is buried in Bury St. Edmund's in Suffolk in England. And then in the middle, we have St. Edward the Confessor, who is buried in Westminster Abbey,
yes,
in London, and then St. John the Baptist. And then they're standing and they're looking to the right, and King Richard II is kneeling and looking also to the right. And to the right, we have the Blessed Virgin, the Madonna and Child, in fact, the Christ Child being held by the Blessed Virgin, and this absolute company of angels. And I love the wings on the angels, very stylized. And I love that the really deep colour. It's the colour of this sort of, it encapsulates sort of, if you like, Merry England itself, right? The joie de vivre, the merriment that we associate with the Middle Ages. And although this is right at the end of the Middle Ages and the beginning of what we might call the Renaissance, this is about, so King Richard II was late 14th century, correct?
Yes, so it's just before the year 1400. That's the year that Richard died.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this is the beginning of the Northern Renaissance here.
Right. And so it's always been a favorite of mine. And I don't know if you want to say anything else about that. But for me, what I love about it is the secular power kneeling before the Christ Child and his mother. And if you like, what we might call a healthy political philosophy, which also sadly lost in our modern world. So I think that's probably all I want. This is one of my favorites. Most of the rest of this podcast will be talking about Jared's favorite paintings. Not that I don't like them immensely, but you'll know much more about them than I do, so you'll probably be doing most of the talking. But I don't know if you want to add anything about this particular one before we move on.
Yes, I mean, the choice of Edmund and Edward is very obvious, right? Two English kings. One of whom was martyred. And here is this piece that he's taking into his imprisonment. But John the Baptist, right? Why John the Baptist? He may have been a personal patron of Richard, I don't know. But it's interesting that the vestments, all of the monarchical garb ends, and you have a guy here who's wearing, clothing that, is basically like rags here.
Right.
And I think it's a symbol, right? He's saying, look, behold the Lamb. And you see Richard kind of looking beyond the earthly realm,
right,
into the heavenly, and you see the beautiful flowers where they give you this kind of celestial vision. And you still see, right, this is early Renaissance, a bit of a Byzantine background, but it's also textured, right? So there's something more going on here, but I think with the change in pattern from one side to the other, you do get this, glimpse into this kind of heavenly tapestry.
Yeah, there's something which is dynamic just in the way that the two halves are sort of coming together. I mean, with everybody on the left looking towards the right and everybody on the right looking towards the left, it's where heaven and earth meet, and where the earthly ruler is on his knees be in the presence of these greater mysteries.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the connection to Merry England. Where do you see that? It's actually the angels in the lower part of the right panel, who seem to have maybe even some playfulness in their expression and gestures.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very insightful. For me, it's the color, though. For me, it's full of joy. Just looking at it lifts your heart. And I think the first time I saw this, I was not a Catholic. In fact, I know the first time I saw this, I was a teenager. I was not a Catholic. In fact, I was an angry young man. But I remember being edified, my heart actually being lifted by the experience of seeing it. So it stayed with me. It remains probably my favorite early painting, as we will see, that my tendency in literature, as in art, is towards the modern, ironically enough, as someone who calls himself orthodox and traditional. But let's move on. So what's the second selection we have here, Jared?
Yes, this is the altarpiece of Ghent, and it is actually a triptych. So you have two side panels that close in, and it originally adorned a private home, the altar in a private home. But it is now in the rear chapel of the cathedral in Ghent.
Okay, so let's give the title again. It's just known as the Altarpiece of Ghent.
That's right.
And it's another anonymous painting?
No, it is by Van Eck and his brother, right? So the Eck brothers, but usually we know Jan Van Eck is the more famous of the two. And the famous part of this triptych is the Adoration of the Lamb. Right, so you see in the central bottom portion this image of the Lamb that was slain upon the altar, and this image of heaven as set into a field, and this big procession that is coming in from the two sides, that you have soldiers, right, those who fought for God coming in from the left, and then you have pilgrims and penitents coming in from the right, and then closest to the altar, you have many saints and martyrs and ecclesiastical leaders. And so, and you get this image of the new and heavenly Jerusalem. Even though it's in a field, right, you kind of see that more off into the distance. It's a very large painting. You know, I just saw it in person last October when I was on the Saints, Monks, and Beer pilgrimage. And, you know, look, nothing compares to the Sistine Chapel, but I would say to me it was that kind of feeling of just being overwhelmed by the beauty of something.
Let me ask, I mean, because I'm now completely open about my large, I mean, I'm aware of the painting, but I've never studied it before. This is great for me also. Presumably, top left, top right, Adam and Eve.
That's right.
Is that God the Father in the middle at the top there?
Well, that's actually that open to debate. Some people think it's the Father because in the Middle Ages, the Father traditionally had that tiara, the triple crown. But there are other characteristics of Christ here as well. And so, yeah, that is something that has been debated.
Okay, so my confusion was understandable.
Right. Now, of course, Christ actually is on the throne underneath. So that could lend some weight to it being the Father, with Our Lady on the left and, of course, the angels also completing this heavenly vision.
Who's the saint on the right?
I believe it is John the Baptist once again, because traditionally Our Lady would be on the right hand and John the Baptist on the left. And the color scheme matches, you know, what he's usually portrayed as. Although he does have, you know, much more lush garments than he did in our diptych, you know.
Yes, yes. More ceremonial, so to speak. Okay, so what's the next painting we have in order here?
Yeah, so I would just briefly point us to another kind of Byzantine connection, right? This time it's literally a Byzantine, the Greek, El Greco. Who was living at that time in Crete, which was part of the Venetian Empire. And so he came to Venice and learned under some of the great masters and then wound up in Toledo in Spain.
And which is the paintings. We want people looking up
yes,
on
that's
Google
right.
Images.
The painting, right. So it's the Burial of Count Orgaz. And, you know, one of the things that I really love about this painting is it's very clearly divided between the upper part, which is heaven, and the lower part on earth. And Count Orgaz was actually related to the last Byzantine dynasty. So he was an important figure. And you can see a lot of important people came to his burial. El Greco actually portrayed himself as one of the guys standing behind the count who's there in his armor, you know, waiting for burial. But the tradition is that there was this miraculous burial where St. Augustine appeared on one side and the deacon St. Stephen the Martyr appeared on the other and actually took him to heaven. So they miraculously appeared. And that's why I like it, because rather than just having this dualism of the heavenly above and the earth below, you actually get this breaking forth where you have these saints coming and showing the link between them. And you see, you know, the people there mourning him, praying for him, but you also see the saints above who are also, you know, interceding and even there present. And the beautiful gold vestments of Augustine and Stephen even show this, their brilliance. Like, here is heaven breaking forth right now onto earth.
Right. Wonderful. And just to remind our listeners here that my guest today is my good friend Jarvid Stout, and we're indulging ourselves and hopefully indulging you also with looking at some of our favorite masterpieces of art. And this is going to be a two podcast discussion. In this first one, we're looking at Renaissance and Baroque art, and the next one we'll be looking at more modern art, 19th and 20th century. So we've discussed three works of art. What's the fourth work of art we'd like to discuss
today?
So
you know, El Greco would be late Renaissance, late 1500s, around 1580. Now we're going to move to about the year 1600, getting more into the Baroque period. We're going to look at Caravaggio's The Calling of St. Matthew, a very famous painting. And of course, we see here Caravaggio's famous chiaroscura, right? The light and the dark, right? This play on the clarity, the brilliance, but the dark shadows and how they play off of one another.
Yeah, so what's actually, obviously this is a painting, again, Caravaggio, The Calling of St. Matthew, for those that want to look it up on Google Images, so you can be looking at the painting with us. Obviously, it's a painting with lots of action going on in it, so could you maybe try to talk us through it a bit? And it's obviously a scene from the Gospel, so maybe try to explain, you know, who's who and where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, so we have, you know, Jesus walking in from the right side of the image, and he is in the darkness, actually. And he's extending his hand, right? So you see his face, his extended arm, and finger pointing to St. Matthew. You actually get the backside of St. Peter, so you don't see his face. But he has a bit of a weaker pointing there as well. He's also saying, that, you know, Lord, this guy, the light is coming in from a window just above Jesus's head. And the direction of the light, you know, matches the direction of his finger. And the light is actually what seems to fall upon St. Matthew. So Jesus points, but then the light breaks in.
Right. So it's in fact, yeah. So Christ is the light that's pointing. Okay. And then that's St. Matthew there with the beard, presumably pointing to himself. Correct.
Yeah. That is the traditional take on the image that he's saying, "Me? Really? Me?" You know. But there has been, a fight that broke out amongst art historians in Rome recently. That the gospel says that Matthew was called while he was counting the money. And so there is a younger figure at the end of the table who is counting money. And so there are some people who contend that the bearded figure is actually saying, "That guy down there," pointing right at the head of the younger figure. So either way, it's a very powerful image, but it is interesting to be able to debate that.
Right. Yes, indeed. Okay. So a painting which is very centered on scripture. And we're going to discuss one more. A masterpiece of art in this particular podcast. And what is our final selection?
So this is from Velázquez from the Spanish Golden Age. So we're back in Spain here. And Velázquez was the court painter. And this is Christ in the House of Mary and Martha.
But the title of it is Christ in the House of Mary and Martha by Velázquez, for those that want to get the Google image up so you can look at the painting with us.
From about the year 1620, right?
So 1620, okay.
Yeah, these last three paintings are pretty close together.
Right, okay. And what's going on in this painting?
Yeah, so we have an older lady who's pointing at a young woman who is doing the work and doesn't look very happy about it. You can see she's preparing a meal. Then in the right corner, there is an image of Christ talking to Mary and Martha. And so the interesting thing about this painting,
to Mary and Martha, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. That's
to
right.
Both of them, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Mary's sitting at his feet, and Martha's coming behind and complaining, right?
Okay.
And what's really interesting is it's a genre painting. So you get this everyday scene of an older woman instructing a younger woman, maybe giving her a hard time, saying like, "Hey, come on, let's get to work here. We have
so this
work
that, to I thought be the done. Unhappy woman doing the work there was Saint Martha. I see. So it's an allegory where basically the painting on the wall alludes to what the older woman is teaching the younger woman. Is that that's basically?
And some people even look at that image on the right hand side as a mirror. Is it saying that this biblical passage is being imaged in this scene or is reflecting
right.
upon this scene.
Right.
Some people say it could even be a window, right? You get a glimpse into this. And
right.
So it's to me, it's like the El Greco painting, where you get this spiritual reality, this kind of breaking
all of these are not just metaphors of each other, they're sort of similes, because of course a painting is a window, mm-hmm. and a painting is a mirror. As a work of literature.
And
is
now
also
you have a mirror within the mirror.
Right. An
image within the image.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
But that's
obviously,
a layer of complexity.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, well, here we've had what I hope you've enjoyed as a little mini tour of a little podcast which has become a bit of an art museum. And we've had five paintings we've discussed here, from the earliest being the Wilton Diptych from the late 1300s, the late 14th century, going right through to the early 17th century. So we covered a period of over 330 or so years, perhaps, in this podcast. Well, please do join us for the next podcast, where we're going to discuss with my friend Jared Stout some of the great masterpieces of Western civilization, artistic masterpieces. But we'll be focusing in the next podcast on more modern paintings from the 19th and 20th century. So check out Jared's website, buildingcatholicculture.com, if he clearly knows what he's talking about. So check out more of what he's talking about. And also check out and indeed buy his book, The Beer Option. Jared, thanks so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
And thanks again for joining me on this Faith and Culture podcast of the Augustine Institute. Please do join me next time. Goodbye and God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith and Culture with Joseph Pierce. Faith and Culture is a production of the Augustine Institute. For more information, please visit us at faithandculture.com.